Too loud, too quiet, too...
Too loud.
Good, okay, thank you. All righty. Bear with me, it's been a little while since I was up here talking to you. And I transcribed a lot of notes and then I put them all down. And if I can read my own writing, then it should go pretty smooth. But believe me, my writing is not that great. Anyway, and I'm going to be doing a lot of reading today because this is a subject of which I don't want to throw too much of my own interpretation into it. I need to stay pretty biblical on it. And basically, that's addressing what are the greatest commandments? And you've heard it so many times when Jesus was speaking with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they wanted to try to trap him. They'd ask him, Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? And he would tell them that you will love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And I've added in there also all your body. Because Romans 12 tells us to use your body as a living sacrifice. So anyway, and to love your neighbor as yourself. There's where we run into the problem. So as I begin this sermon, I hope that everyone will realize, and they will realize, that if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, then obviously you're keeping that first one. If you love the Lord with all your heart and all your strength and your mind and your soul, or you wouldn't be here. But then we need to talk about the second one on there. And basically, if you're not keeping the first one, you can't do the second one. And if you're not keeping the second one, you're really not, probably not doing the first one. So let's just go. And again, I've got a lot of reading here. And Jesus and the Bible, in fact, the whole Bible addresses this over and over and over again. This is why they are the greatest commandments. Anyway, Jesus was talking, and he said, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You can also, you want to write these down. Mark 12, 28 through 34 says the same thing basically. And in Luke 10, 25 through 28, it's reiterated again. These commandments are very important and they mean a lot to the Lord. So what about the other commandments? You know, so how do we keep these commandments? How do we follow them? Well, basically, if you're doing the first two, all the rest will fall into place. And we'll go again. I'm going to go again to the Bible here. We want to go to Romans. And give me just bear with me a little bit here on this. Because it explains to us why these are all tied together. And Jesus, or Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. He has fulfilled the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever commandment there may be summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you're doing the first two, and keeping those, and especially you love your brother as yourself and your neighbor as yourself, then you can't break the other commandments. You can go and read them all, but basically, you know, do not steal. Well, if you love your brother and your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. So these are your commandments that are so strong and why Jesus stressed them. And you say, well, that love says here that love is the fulfillment of the law. Well, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians now. And you've probably read this one. You've probably got plaques on your wall that have this, that address this. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, and always perseveres. Those are some wonderful words. They are absolutely, they're beautiful words. But very few people really read the first part of this. 1 Corinthians 13, 1, and listen, here's where it comes in. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all gift of prophecy and mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Basically, what we're talking about here is you can fulfill all these wonderful things, you know, and you've probably met people, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse, I don't gamble, I go to church every Sunday, I tithe, I give to the Salvation Army, I do all these wonderful things, but inside their heart, they have a hate or an anger that's just eating them up. They're mad at someone or hate someone, or maybe they just hate the world. So all these wonderful things that they're doing mean absolutely nothing. They achieve you nothing. They achieve you nothing in gain in the heavenly kingdom. So it's important that you remember that it's great to be these things, and it's wonderful to live a life of Christian purity and all of this, but you've got to have the love and that forgiveness in your heart. And I want to go over here and into Romans 12, 24. And let me read that one. Bear with me. Okay, Paul tells us, again, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take of revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, you may have heard this, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When I read that, I got to thinking, you know, basically it's kind of, when you read the last part there, it's, you've probably heard this saying, kill them with kindness. And that's basically what it is. It's, someone's treating you bad or whatever, just smile, maybe agree with them, whatever. I want to give you a little example here that happened to me where this worked. When I had my business, I had a salesman who came to me, and he was arguing about his commission, and the way it worked was, it was a remanufactured piece of equipment that we had taken in and redone and all this, and he wanted to sell it, and it hadn't been completed at the time, and he was asking, well, how much is it going to cost me? Because we would redo it, assign a cost to the equipment, and then that would be their cost of the equipment, and then their commission over that we would split. And I said, well, it's not ready to go yet. Well, what do you think it'll be? I said, I don't know. I said, well, just tell me. I got it sold right now. I need it right now. I said, I don't know. Barring any problems with it, it'll be at the normal cost of what that piece of equipment normally in that range. Okay, thank you. Well, anyway, it turned out it needed more than what we had thought. Anyway, on the day they was filling out his pay sheet, he came to me and he told me, he goes, hey, this cost is way over what I thought it would be. I said, yeah, it turns out it needed more than what we thought it would be.
Well, this isn't right. You know, I'm going to lose all this money.
I said, but I told you, I don't know what it was at the time. You had to have it then. No, this went on and on, back and forth. Finally, I got tired of it. It just was getting old. So I said, you know what? I've got an idea. How about if I just give you this machine for free? It's yours. Assign no cost to it. Assign no repair to it. Assign nothing. I'm giving it to you. You just take the whole commission.
Well, no, I don't want to do that.
I said, no, just do it. Just take it. I said, apparently, and it wasn't that much difference, apparently this money means so much to you that you are just not going to quit until you get what you want. So you know what? Just take the whole thing. You can have the whole thing. And he was just, no. And I said, no, this conversation's done. It's yours. I'm giving it to you because it means that much to you. Well, he followed me around for 3 or 4 days. Seriously.
No, it's just not right. It's just not right.
I said, I don't care. It's not that. It doesn't mean that much to me. It means that doesn't. It's no big deal. Just take it. Well, the day came for payday. He filled out his pay sheet. He put the original cost back of what it was plus the extra. I never said a word, and that was the end of it. Now, I won't tell you that this will work for you every time you're dealing with someone else, but you can always try to do a little kindness. You can always try to be agreeable with them rather than to get into one of these fighting matches. They never go anywhere but just down. See, and you also, in this world, when it comes to this, we have to remember that there's some people in this world that just will not like you for no apparent reason. And I've read these things, I've heard people say it's because the angels in you irritate the demons in them. And that's vice versa. That it can be the same way around. And, have you ever met someone that just seems so perfect and so nice and just so absolutely unbelievable that they actually got under your skin? They made you mad because they were so nice? Says, that may well be that we're a little jealous of them and we wish that we could be like that. But you know, the Bible tells us not to look to others, but to look to Jesus. Keep your eyes and your mind focused on Him, and you won't have time to worry about others. You won't have time to worry about what others think of you. So when we become more mature and more developed and in our Christian life and in our heart and with our heart and our mind of Jesus inside us, you may soon find yourself actually praying for others rather than condemning them. And of course, Jesus tells us that, to pray for your enemies, pray for those others. Sometimes you'll meet someone in your life that they're so sad and they're so irritable and they can't get along with anyone. I don't want to be around them. You need to do the opposite. You need to pray for them. They may not want you to pray for them. They'll say, don't you dare pray for me, but they can't stop you when you go home and you're sitting in your chair praying. So you pray for them. Let me address now one of the things that's kind of one of the little simpler things that we run into that causes us to have problems with our brother and our neighbor. And that's patience. No matter how we try, so many of us lack patience. One of the reasons we begin to get frustrated and angry with our neighbors and our friends and others is that we simply have that lack of patience. As we lose our patience when we don't get our way, because people are not as perfect as we are. If you read in Galatians 5:22, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And it's very important because usually our lack of patience causes things to flare up. You can pray hard to the Lord, and that's what you need to give you patience. Always pray about that, no matter what you're praying for, when you're praying, pray for patience. Pray for forgiveness for others that have hurt you and that you've hurt. Ask the Lord to grant it to you. And let me talk to you a little about being where we lose a lot of patience, and that's about being a caretaker. Now, I know there's some of you know a lot about being a caretaker. I know there's people now that are involved in being caretakers right now. When I was fairly young, I did not like to be around sick people. And it wasn't because I didn't have empathy for them or sympathy. I did, but I don't like hospitals. I don't like being around these people. They make me feel sad. I can't deal with it. I just can't deal with it. But as I got a little older, God always will, when you've got something, if you're a Christian and you've got something you're suffering with, in other words, you're dealing with it, whether it be anger or whether it be lack of patience or whether it just be unforgiveness, God always is going to take you to that place and he's going to put that down as an obstacle to you until you either face it and you become victorious over it, or you just say, I can't do any of this, and you just walk away from all of it. But I trust, believe me, the Holy Spirit's in you, you won't. He will make you. He'll keep doing it. So anyway, I was, as I got a little older and really truly became to get stronger in my Christian faith, the Lord decided, you know what, it's time for you to start learning some of this. And of course, one of the first things I ran into is my mother got very sick in 1998. And I still wasn't dealing with it very well. I did my best that I could, but I didn't deal with it very well. And then later on, after my wife and I got married, her son, middle son, was involved in a horrible automobile accident. Just tremendously bad. Wasn't expected to live. He was in ICU. And pretty much he had a traumatic brain injury. And he wasn't really, no one knew what was going to happen. And he was pretty much after he got the initial, well, he will live, is he going to be basically, and I know this sounds a little rough, is he going to be in a vegetative state the rest of his life? We didn't know. Well, he finally got to the point where he didn't know who he was, what he was, or anything, and he was just pretty much just there, but he could move around, and his wounds had healed, and others were slowly healing, but he had to go to a nursing home. So it was over there near, nursing home was near my office, where I officed, and I found myself going over there at lunchtime, sitting in a chair, while he was in a bed that had a net mesh over it so he couldn't escape, just knowing not where he was, and I'm sitting there for an hour or so talking to him, because they said the more you talk to them, the better it'll be to help bring their brain back. I actually could not believe I was doing that. I was just sitting there and I was like, wow, this is really unusual for me. It just, it's really difficult. But little by little, he got better. And as today, as some of you probably know the story, he's 90% functioning and he has a job and he has a child, and God healed him. God also healed me. He taught me, you know what? There's a reason you have the means, you have the ways, you have the stuff to be a caretaker if I need you to be. Well, then along, I really don't remember what year it was, but anyway, my wife's mom came to live with us. She lived with us for 6 years. She needed quite a bit of care. And believe me, she could actually really work on your patience. I'm sure everybody who has ever taken care of an elderly elderly parent or someone like that, it can really wear on your patience. But it teaches you. More and more and more you learn to become patient. And God, like I said, he has changed me so much in that. And he's brought me to the point where, you know, now I'm out there. I look for people that I can help. I actually do. I look for folks that I can help. And I look to see wherever there is that I can give some kind of solace, comfort, or help in any way I can. So just remember, you pray about this, you work on it, God will take you where you need to be, and he'll fix those things. So if there's unforgiveness, you know, there's impatience, there's just anger in your heart, whatever it may be, he will continue to put you where he will test you. And my suggestion is accept it, embrace it, because you're growing in the grace and the fullness of Jesus Christ. I want to read a little story here. It's from a little thing here on David Jeremiah, and it has to do with patience. And I think this is going to hit home for a lot of us. And, I had this marked, and now I have lost my place. Oh, God, be good to me. I can tell you the story if I can't find it. I don't know how it got. Here we are. Thank you. Thank you for bearing with me. I haven't done this in a while, so it's not as smooth as it should be. Anyway, it says, there was a story here of a frail old man who went to live with his son and his daughter-in-law and his young grandson. Every night the family ate dinner together, but because of the old man's shaky hands and blurred vision, he had difficulty eating. Peas would roll off of his spoon, and he almost always spilled milk on the table as he tried to take a drink. His son and his daughter-in-law became very frustrated and decided to have him sit at his own table in the corner where they wouldn't have to deal with the mess. Because the old man had broken a dish or two, they gave him a wooden bowl to eat out of. One night, the old man's son noticed his boy playing with some wood scraps, and he asked him what he was doing. And the boy answered, "I'm making a wooden bowl for you and mommy to eat from when I grow up." The boy's parents were speechless and in tears. And from that moment on, the grandfather had sat. From that moment on, the grandfather sat at the table with the rest of the family, and somehow the messes he made never bothered them again. Impatience can be the result of expectations that are not met. No one is perfect, and expecting perfection from someone will be frustrating and unproductive. Choose to love people for who they are as they are. That's how God loves us, and he asks us to do the same for others. So, we're all probably headed in that direction, so let's remember that each time that we get short and impatient, and that's like Tony out on the highway, okay? But now I'd like to get a little more serious on this. Not that this isn't serious, but we'll talk about some of the reasons that we have the trouble with loving our neighbor as we should. And one of the reasons, it goes much deeper and it's much harder to overcome. And this is the one that a lot of us have suffered from in the past, and hopefully most of us have gotten over it. I know I suffered with it from time to time. But with the help of the Lord and a lot of prayer, I will venture to say it's gone from me, at least at this point. Satan may try to bring it back, but I know how to counter him through prayer. But anyway, it's unforgiveness. And if you read Mark 11:25, you all might want to write these down. And the Lord God, Jesus said, "And when you are praying, and you're standing praying, if you hold anything against anyone or have anything against him, go and settle that quickly. And then pray so that your Father in heaven may forgive you and your sins as their sins as you have sinned." Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Guys, this is serious stuff. It really is. You think about it, so I can't forgive them. I just can't forgive them. So, well, you might want to look at what unforgiveness, where it may be headed with you on here. Now, I'm going to read over here Matthew 18:21 through 32 on there. But anyway, you've read it, you probably all have. Talks about the parable of the unmerciful servant. Anybody read that one before? He said, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like the king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, that is a lot of money, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. But the servant fell on his knees before him, and he began to beg, I will pay back everything, O Lord. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you have had mercy. Canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's kind of some frightening stuff. That's why those first two, those two commandments are so powerful. If you read this book all in from the beginning to the end, it basically love God and forgive your neighbor. It's all about this. But Jesus teaches us the way and we can get through it. You know, when you pray the Lord's Prayer also, if you'll notice, he also says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, Jesus died on the cross to forgive all of us. So how dare we not forgive our neighbor? It's just that simple. And I want to read another one here from Matthew. If you notice, there's a lot of these from Matthew. And you want to know why I noticed this, at least for me. Matthew was a tax collector. And he cheated a lot of people. And he was pretty cruel to a lot of people, forcing them to pay money they didn't have. So I think once he began to write his book, he paid special attention to these things. But anyway, Jesus tells us, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You say, well, what does that mean, being thrown into prison? Well, I looked this up in this particular one in the Expositor's Bible Commentary. Basically, if you get one of those and you don't understand a verse, it explains it to you. But anyway, basically, it's talking about that God's going to exact his retribution against you for your unforgiveness. It might, don't know, it may be here on this earth, or it may be in heaven, I don't know, or hell, whatever. Wherever he takes it, he will get, as he says, the last penny. But I have actually read this over several times, this particular verse, and I got to thinking about this. You know, when he says in here that you will be thrown into prison, well, you know, when you've got so much unforgiveness, so much ugliness, and so much just hate for someone or something in your heart, you are in a prison. You're in a prison. You've all heard, and I heard all that, that the one that has the unforgiveness is worse than the one that is unforgiven. Or the one that did it to you. You hate him, and he doesn't even know you exist. And yet you're walking around, you're in this prison in your heart and in your soul and in your mind. And it says, and you will not get out until you have paid the last penny, and you will pay for that unforgiveness and that hate and that ugliness day after day after day. You will pay for it until you pay that last penny and say, you know what? Here it is. I'm out of money. I'm out of everything. Jesus, help me to forgive. So that's my interpretation. So don't take that to the bank. But anyway, learning to forgive others, those who have really wronged you or hurt you deeply, can be extremely hard to do. But it can be overcome, and it can be overcome really only by prayer. Sometimes it may take constant prayer, but you should also pray that those who have hurt you will also forgive you. And pray and ask the Lord every day how you should handle these situations, and listen for him. He will give you the answers if you continue to pray, because these things are extremely important to the Lord. They really are. I mean, why is it over and over and over in here? He reiterates this. Why is it part of the greatest commandments? They are important. Now, I want to talk about another sin that causes men's anger against each other and causes so much misery in this world. For me, I think this is the one that's abused the most. And it's the ugly things that come out of our mouth and our judgment of each other's. How quick we are to judge our neighbors for the same things that we're doing. You know, we judge our neighbors often because their sins are just different from ours. We condemn them for these sins while we're sinning us over here. Our sins are no less than theirs. So anyway, I'm going to go to another Matthew. If you want to read, you'll learn a lot about this. You'll spend a lot of time in Matthew. Oh, here we go. Let me find it again. I marked all these, and then here I am not able to find them. I should have just gone to them. I know a lot of them by heart. Matthew 15, 17 through 19. Jesus is talking, basically, the Pharisees have come against him and his disciples because they caught them eating without washing their hands first. They broke some Jewish traditions. And to the Jews at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these traditions were important. They were probably more important than this forgiveness part. So anyway, Jesus and his disciples did this all the time. So anyway, they said, why do your disciples eat without washing their hands? And so Jesus explains to them about this. And his disciples are like, we don't understand. So he tells them, he says, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these things make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. You know, it's a blessing to live a clean and pure life as much as you can, and holding on to your Christian traditions. But the purity and the obedience to God and all that true love comes from your heart. And that is the only way... That is the only... It's only achieved by having a true personal relationship with Jesus. And that comes through faith and prayer in Jesus Christ. You know, if you're struggling with this, you need to just get down on your knees and confess it and say it and ask every day for forgiveness, because we say something. And I know, and you're going to, oh, I don't. Yeah, you do. You say something about somebody, something ugly about somebody every day. Sometimes we don't even think about it. And it's wrong. We should be thinking about it. And we do it without second thought. And those words are hurtful, and they hurt people. And you remember Tony once said that your words can murder people. Your words can murder people. You can just destroy them by what you say. You know, I didn't write this down, but it just came into my mind. It was from a William Shakespeare play, and it says that he who steals my purse steals trash. But he who steals from me my good name steals from me that not enriches him, but it makes me poor indeed. So you can hurt somebody really, but with whatever ugly things you say. And I'm going to read you another one here. I'm just full of all this reading, aren't I, today? But anyway, this is actually from a Hank Williams song. Since I want you all to stay here, I'm not going to sing it. All right? Believe me, I could empty this room quick. Anyway, it's one of these little, you've heard these Western, country Western songs where they sing a little and they talk a little and all that. But anyway, this is the story. It says, a neighbor was passing my garden. Listen to this one really closely. A neighbor was passing my garden one time, and she stopped, and I knew right away that it was gossip, not flowers, she had on her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say. That bad girl down the street should be run from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot. She knows not to speak to my child or me. My neighbor then smiled, and I thought, a tongue can accuse and carry bad news. The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless you've made no mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw. He says, a car speeded by and the screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. For my neighbor's one child had been pulled from the path and saved by a girl now lying still. That child was unhurt, and my neighbor cried out, oh, who was that brave girl so sweet? I covered the crushed, broken body and said, the bad girl who lives down the street. Says, oh, a tongue can accuse and carry bad news. The seeds of distrust it will sow. But unless you've made no mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw. If we look at Luke 6:37, tells us, Jesus tells us, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, and it will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So when you do something good, don't do it because you're expecting a reward. But if you're doing it, you're not judging, you're being kind, forgiving your brother and sister and your neighbor, the Lord will take care of you. He will return that goodness to you. It may not be right away, but it will come to you. Then on a little bit harsher thing, James 3:9-10 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Is that not true? Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. Oh, my brothers, this should not be. Y'all remember the woman that was caught in adultery? Says, well, Jesus, the only one who was qualified to cast a stone, he did not cast a stone, but instead he forgave. So before we speak words that will hurt our neighbors, and we need to remember what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5. And this is one way. Remember, we must take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Think and remember that you are under the same judgment as your neighbor. So who are we to judge? Martin Luther tells us, or made this quote, write this one down or put it on your mind. It is the duty of every Christian to be Christ to his neighbor. Now I'm going to need to read you one more poem. But I think this one will kind of drive the point home here. And believe it or not, I learned this when I was in sixth grade. Our teacher taught us this, and she made us read it. Didn't have to memorize it. And I thought, oh my, how times have changed. And I think you'll realize that now when I read this. But this is a poem by a gentleman named Lee Hunt. And it goes like this. Abu bin Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace. And he saw within the moonlight in his room, making it rich like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made bin Adam bold. And in that presence in the room, he said, what writest thou? The vision raised its head, and with a look made of all sweet accord, answered, the names of those who love the Lord. And is mine one, said Abu? Nay, not so, replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerily still, and said, I pray then, write me as one who loves his fellow men. The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it came again with a great awakening light, and it showed the names whom love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. So you see, it's really hard to keep that first commandment if you don't keep the second one, and it's hard to keep the second one without the first one, so together they are the greatest commandment. You know, it tells us in Proverbs 16:7, and I think you'll find this true, because occasionally we will meet people like this, and it says, remember, when a man, his ways are pleasing to the Lord makes even his enemies live at peace with him. I know you're going to probably sit in there and you're thinking, and I've thought the same thing too from time to time in the past. Even after you read all these things and you heard all these things, you say to yourself, I try to do these things, but it's just not in me. I just can't do them. I've tried, but I just can't. But if you're a Christian and you confess Christ as your Savior, you do have this power. Because if you'll look at 2 Peter 3-4, his divine power, which is the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and his goodness. Through these, he has given us every great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world caused by your evil desires. It is in us. It is in us to forgive. It is in us to live like this, to live at peace with other men. He has given you that Holy Spirit. We just need to exercise it. But Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world. And if you walk in his light, you will not be in darkness. So you want to write this one down too. It's a really good one. 1 John 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get it. Walk in the light. Walk in the light as Jesus walked in the light. I don't have a big long prayer other than just, dear Lord, I just ask that you just help us, please, to forgive our neighbor as you have forgiven us. Help us each day, O Lord, to walk out and to just represent you by your perfect, perfect love that you have given us to live inside us. Let us be humble and gentle of heart like you are, and just let us to treat each other as we would treat our neighbors as we would like to be treated ourselves. And you remember that golden rule, O Lord, that you gave so many years ago, that we just live as you would live, Jesus, in everything we do. And we thank you just for all the blessings you give us, and we pray for healing for everyone in this church, everyone in this church's family out there that may be hurting, and for all the world out there that hurts so badly, Lord. The true healing will come through you, and we just pray that each and every person out there would hear the knock on the door and they would just call on your name and be saved. We ask this because this is our great commission to help others be saved, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got one more little ditty here for you, okay? And I like this one here, and it's just a kind of a little, I don't know if you call it a prayer, just a thing, but you remember, and it just says, you can pray it. I pray it sometimes. May the mind and heart of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is my victory. May he run the race, may we run the race before us, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as we onward go. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday.